Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, it was going to be a case of the Denver Nuggets playing the role of the pinata, and everyone was going to get a swing at the Denver Nuggets. But then they had to, they played the rest of the game, and the Nuggets, and now it's remember the Alamo. It's like, wait a minute, what's up with that? That's like a major plot twist in all this. We were preparing all our cheap shots at the Denver Nuggets, and then they had to happen to win the game, and it was a flurry. Now, not as impressive as the Clippers. You don't get as many style points because, A, the Nuggets were at home, and, B, they were playing San Antonio. Okay, this ain't your old friend San Antonio. This is a different San Antonio, and it was a Pepto-Bismol type of situation. You get a little stomach ache there for the Spurs. For 36 minutes, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, for 36 minutes, San Antonio asserted their will. They did what they wanted, but it's kind of like when you go and you park your car and you leave the door open, you don't close the door, there's a chance someone you might not know is going to come into your car. And Jamal Murray, the headliner here, along with Nikola Jokic, who came close to a triple-double. He was a couple assists away from a triple-double. It wasn't an overwhelmingly dominating performance, but Jamal Murray, who was having a Kyle Lowry type of night for the Nuggets. Like, when I say Kyle Lowry, like, he first three quarters, he was Kyle Lowry. He was 0 of 8 from the floor, and then he ends up scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter. You saw the game, you know, what I'm talking about here. So, the getting off the schneid, which is an old term. This guy I used to work with, who's now a dentist on television, taught me that. Get off the schneid. Was the term. But Mike Malone, his first playoff win as a coach, inspirational coach. And so now the Nuggets have to try to win in San Antonio. I believe the last time they won in San Antonio was like the 1970s or something like that. It's been a while. It's been a while for them, and they will attempt to regain home court advantage these series now. Headed back to Texas at 1-1. So let's discuss. Now, does this game say more about the Denver Nuggets or more about the San Antonio Spurs? Well, it's obviously more about the Spurs. The better story, 99% of the time, unless it's the Clippers, Rams, or Dodgers, is in the losing locker room. 99% of the time. So the answer is San Antonio. Now, my thoughts here, you've got the tsunami, intensive care, and paradise. And we will tie all these things into a nice package, and we'll wrap the package. We'll put it in the mailbox, and we'll send the package off. Now, the mainstream basketball media, and I consume a lot of this mainstream basketball media, they had taught me that the Spurs were the season team, right? That they were the season team, that they had pop. They had the pop. So you don't expect San Antonio, when they get a 19-point lead, you don't expect them to jump on the vomit comet. You don't expect that.
It was a pathetic performance.
But the Spurs, guess what? They jumped on the vomit comet in the fourth quarter. You know, instead of nursing a 19-point lead, they went the other way. They turtled up. And, again, not your daddy's San Antonio. Holy Tim Duncan. Completely unacceptable. Now, again, I got no skin in the game, and I've had fun poking the San Antonio fan. I've enjoyed that over the years. But Greg Popovich, unable to work his witchcraft to stop. And when the tide turned, and the tide did turn, I don't believe in momentum, but I do believe in confidence. And Denver started getting their confidence going, and the Spurs were swept out to sea in the tsunami of Jamal Murray baskets. Here's Greg Popovich, who used gamesmanship. I'll explain how Popovich used gamesmanship, but he was very brief, shall we say. Here's Pop. Here's how he sounded after the game.
Were there breakdowns with Murray defensively in the fourth, or was it just a matter of time with him that he was going to break loose?
Well, we gave up 38 points in the fourth quarter. End of story. Tough to win a game on the road in the playoffs if you're going to give up 38 points. And Paul and Jamal had a lot to do with that, obviously. They both hurt us badly, and we didn't have any answers for either one of them.
Your thoughts on going back to San Antonio with the split? I mean, that's kind of what most road teams do want to do in the first two, correct?
Sure. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Now, I'm going to let you inside here, a little inside radio, what Pop did. All right, there's about a 10 to 15 minute cooling off period at an NBA game in the playoffs and all that, so players don't curse when they talk to the media. And typically what happens is you get the full 10, 15 minutes. There's nothing if you're a reporter covering a game. And so what Popovich did was he circumvented the media, who assumed they had 10, 15 minutes before they had to go interview Popovich. He snuck in there. There were, like, you know, some intern for the Nuggets and some other guy was in the room, and that was it. And so Pop got in there. There was no media. So he said, all right, any other questions? That's it. He walked out. He closed the door. See you later. I'm out of here. Goodbye. All right. But wait, there's more. So the fourth, here's how I saw the game. San Antonio, they're not a great defensive team, but they completely broke down in the fourth quarter. And it was more about their incompetence than the Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets, Murray hit a bunch of shots, and it was great for him. But you know, Denver had been on the defensive, and they became on the offensive team. And the Spurs were on their heels. They did not finish what they had started. The closing minutes of this game, the Denver Nuggets shot 73% in the fourth quarter. They didn't turn the ball over one time. Now, if you shoot over 70% and don't turn the ball over one time, that tells you that you're playing against air, that the other team is just, it's ole, it's bullfighter defense, it's ole, here, run over there. That's what they're doing. The Spurs came unglued in the fourth quarter. They shot the ball well enough. They were able to make some baskets, but they could not match the intensity on defense. And one other point here. Now, Popovich got a technical foul for disagreeing with the officials in the fourth quarter. And I noticed when he kept saying in that little soundbite that we played, well, give up 38 points. Well, no, the Nuggets scored 39 points, so he's discounting the 1 point which he personally gave to the other team. He kept saying 38, but the Nuggets scored 39 in the fourth quarter. The 39th point was compliments of Greg Popovich. All right, well, what about DeMar DeRozan? Now, I'd love to sit here and kill DeMar DeRozan because it's fun. I remember when he was in Toronto and we did a lot of that. I had a lot of monologues. It was going back and forth with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. But DeRozan didn't suck in the fourth quarter. He didn't. Offensively, he was good. Now, defensively, he was a disaster, but offensively, he held his own. He held his own. The problem is, as far as offense is concerned, but while he was out there, and he played most of the quarter, while he was out there, the Spurs were outscored by 18. So I guess if you do want to kill him, you can kill DeMar DeRozan. Here is DeRozan commenting on getting a win and then a loss, so you get the banana split.
Home court shifting our way. Now it's on us to go home and do what we need to do. Understand, if we take care of home like we've been doing all year, we could come back here with opportunity. So we feel great where we're at. We understood it wasn't going to be a cakewalk.
Who's ever been to a cakewalk? Do they still have cakewalks, by the way? I use the term, too. I'm guilty also. But like, I've never been to a cakewalk. I don't even really know what a cakewalk is, but I use the term. It's like an outdated term, right? It's from the early days of America, cakewalks and all that. How about a bake sale? How about a bake sale? Could we change that up to a bake sale? Potluck? Well, that's got different meaning to different people, but anyway. All right, now part B of this, Jamal Murray, right? He was insane to the membrane in the fourth quarter there.
Who?
And he was playing the first three quarters. Jamal, I don't know who he is either. Jamal Murray, apparently he's a basketball player. But Jamal Murray was playing like dishwater for the first three quarters. You know that disgusting dishwater with all the food parts in there? Just nasty stuff floating there. You know what the hell's going on. So, but he was 0 of 8. That was, I mentioned Kyle Lowry. Like, Denver was outscored by 18 points with Murray on the floor the first 36 minutes. He didn't play all 36. But then an out-of-body experience. I don't have the star chart. That's our friend Andrea. Right, that's Virgo in service, but I don't have the star chart. But out of body in the fourth quarter, you talk about saving the Nuggets bacon. I didn't know Nuggets had bacon, but that was redonkulous there. A radical transformation with a very boring NBA broadcast. I did not enjoy the commentators on that. I don't know. It seemed dry to me. It seemed boring to me. But nonetheless, so Murray hit seven straight shots at one point. He shot 8 of 9, I believe that's 88%, in the fourth quarter, had a couple of assists, and Denver turned, at one point they were down by 7 and in the fourth quarter, and they flipped the script, ended up with a 9-point win, a massive 12 minutes. And to say that Denver was in the intensive care unit when they fell behind by 19 would be kind of like saying Donald Trump just enjoys watching Tiger Woods play golf a little bit and not wants to give him the highest civilian honor you can give any person in America. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing. Now, they were staring down the barrel of a gigantic bazooka looking back at them, not ready for prime time, from on the ropes to alive and well in the span of 12 minutes. And overall, Denver outscored the Spurs 55-27 the final 16 minutes, which would have been just mind-blowing if it hadn't been for the Clippers the night before. But I will point out that Mike Malone, or the coach of the Spurs there, Michael Malone, he said the inspiration was the Clippers. That he told his team when they were getting boat raced, hey, remember the Clippers. Right? Instead of remember the Alamo, remember the Clippers. Every team in the NBA will use the Clippers as inspiration when they get destroyed by 30 points. Every team. All right, last word on this. Now, does this mean the Nuggets are going to win this series? It does not. Now, they should, right? Was this a fluke? Was this a one-off? Or has a sleeping giant awoken? Denver did finish with the number 2 seed in the West. Now, I am not all in on the Denver Nuggets. I am not. I do not believe they have a shot to win the Western Conference. Now, nevertheless, they should beat the Spurs, and they're in the right part of the bracket, right? They're in the right part of the bracket because you look at the upper part, assuming the Warriors don't continue to allow the Clippers to assert their will and the Warriors come back, you're looking at Houston and Golden State in one half of the bracket in the West. The other half will be the winner of San Antonio and Denver, and they will play Portland. So whoever wins in this, you got a path, a clear path to the Western Conference Finals. You do. So it's setting up pretty good there, but I'm not all in on the Nuggets yet. They should win because they have better basketball players than the Spurs and all that stuff. And I guess we don't have to hear about the pedigree of the San Antonio Spurs until the next game. But the defensive malfunctions, low-grade effort that side of the ball in the fourth quarter. A lot of inaccuracy. Now, meanwhile, this is an underdog bettor's paradise. It is. The zigzag theory. Now, if you're a degenerate and you're a gambler over the years, you know that in most team sports, but in the NBA in particular, in a series format, which we have in North America, you typically, whoever wins the first game, you go the other way. It's called the zigzag theory, right? Zigzag theory. It's a betting philosophy, and it's an underdog bettor's paradise. So far, it's a small sample size, but team covers game one. Game two, the same team that covered game one doesn't cover game two. It's four opportunities, and it was 4-0 up until Portland did cover. So it was 4-1 now. So 4-1, which is still an 80% win total. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. All right, Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold Garcia. We also have another boo controversy
A boo?
Yes.
Controversy?
Another boo controversy in the NBA.
What was the first boo controversy?
Well, these things pop up, Eddie, but in the NBA playoffs last night, the boo controversy, Eddie, involves the Denver Nugget fan who was serenading Will Barton. He's a basketball player, Eddie, for the Nuggets.
Thank you.
They were serenading Will Barton with boo. Boo, boo.
Why is that a problem? Isn't that that happens at all sporting events?
Yeah. Well, he went 1-for-10 from the floor. But here's the
controversy. Then let me boo him too. Boo.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Nikola Jokic, these athletes today.
He was not happy about that.
He was not happy.
Yeah. Who?
Jokic said Nugget fans should not boo Will Barton. Very upset. I just. I was raised
I
to
boo his non-booing statement.
You celebrate great performance athletically and you boo poor performance. I think it's very simple. This is not brain surgery. We're a bunch of idiots that watch sports for a living. It's not that hard, okay? When someone does well, we cheer. When they don't do well, it doesn't matter what kind of laundry they're wearing. You boo. Boo.
I remember booing at performances at school, and that was a no-no.
Oh, yeah. The teachers get offended by that. Yeah.
Oh, there's no booing. Only cheering.
Those teachers when you were a kid.
Wow, even in your day, Roberto?
Yeah.
I know. I could see these days for sure.
It's like talking about like late 80s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The whole boo thing, this comes, it's beyond me. This younger generation was raised differently than I was. I was raised to enjoy the boo, to, if you
That's
get.
That's what I said.
But no, see, even if you're a player, I always thought, like, as a player.
I don't
player,
know about enjoying
well, no,
the
but
boo.
If you, but here's the thing, to turn it around. Like, I think there's two types of athletes, right? The kind that loves to play on the road, hostile environment, everyone's out to get them, and they, you know, saying nasty stuff to them. And then there's the type that needs positive reinforcement. I feel like the pendulum has swung here, and we are in an era where it's a very small percentage of athletes that feed off the negativity and the boo and like to go into a hostile situation. It's much more, I like the positivity. I need to be celebrated and patted on the back. And it's annoying.
Kobe wasn't like that.
Well, yeah, but he's not from this generation. I'm saying like today.
That's
like,
true.
You know, it's the guys today. It's do we have Jokic? Just to prove I'm not lying, Eddie. And we have it. The editing department did a fine job. Koopa Loop dug it up. So here's Nikola Jokic.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that before.
Standing by. I'm a very positive person.
Oh, that's
Eddie.
Right. I
standing
forgot.
By. You're the negative one. Remember that.
Uh-huh.
Here is Jokic standing by Will Barton, his teammate.
Yeah. I mean, that's a real thing. I didn't like, actually, I'm going to say something. I didn't like that the crowds and fans booed, thrill. I think he did a lot of things for this, not just in this organization. He was injured. He's finding his rhythm. So when he comes back, he's going to be the old thrill.
I didn't understand one word.
Now, Eddie, the reason we played that is because we had it.
He said, I don't like the boo.
And he also started making excuses. He said he was injured. He's finding his rhythm.
Wow, you got.
We actually,
my ears. No,
you guys are just not cultured. You don't understand accents.
You understand the mumbling. Okay,
the foreign accent of Nikola Jokic. Now we actually had Tammy in Montana holding a boom mic from Montana, and that's how we recorded that.
It actually was recorded from the furthest reporter from him.
Yeah. I think it was just on the Colorado border. I believe just on the Colorado border. And so they're the magical radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Oklahoma City Thunder with two all-stars, two top 10 players, or so they say. Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and they are in need of some hydration. They are in a bad spot. I don't know if you saw the Blazers and the Thunder game, which was the tale of two halves. I think, did Shakespeare write that back in the day, the tale of two halves? Was that a Shakespearean line? Because in the first half, the Thunder had pretty good control of the game, pretty good control. They led by as many as 10. The Blazers came back. They were able to tie the game at halftime. So the game was tied up at 54. But in the first half, Paul George, 16 points. He had 5 rebounds, a couple of assists there. Pretty good numbers. Now, Westbrook was bad. Russell Westbrook was bad in the first half, but it's what happened in the second half of a tie game not a must win because you're still, you know, down two games now. Not the worst of the worst situation, but a game where if you win the game as Oklahoma City, you're in much better shape. The advantage of being the road team is you're playing with house money here. You don't have to win, but it certainly helps your cause when you do win. At some point, the Thunder, if they intend to win this series, are going to have to win in Portland. But in the second half, this was a curb stomping by the Portland Trailblazers, outscoring the Thunder by 20, 60-40. Oklahoma City, with two all-star ball players, scored 40 points in the second half of a game where they had to, you know, playoff game. You can't lose that. You're down two games to none. They shot 36% in the second half. And Russell Westbrook, a biblically bad shooting performance. And in the second half, the Thunder, who were outscored by 20 when Westbrook was on the court, were outscored by 21 points with him on the court. And it was a clinic by C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, the backcourt of the Blazers. In the second half, those guys scored 30 points combined. Remember, the Thunder, as a team, scored 40. All the different guys on the Thunder collectively ended up scoring a total of 40 points. So the dust has settled, and the Blazers get a 114-94 win. The Thunder have yet to crack 100 points in these two games, in this particular series against the Portland Trail Blazers, and a dominating performance there, out working, out hustling the Thunder. The Blazers certainly did that. And I understand, I don't know if we have the sound here, but Russell Westbrook, I'm reading some of these quotes here from Russell Westbrook, and he said, "I take full responsibility for the loss." He called his play unacceptable while wearing a funny hat, which I always get a kick out of because he always dresses like a clown, and he's the funny hat on and the glasses usually, and he addresses the media. But the reason I thought this Russell Westbrook quote was the money quote was the fact that he said similar things last year. Right? This is right out of Russell Westbrook's playbook. You know, buy the book, say what you're... When he's not saying next question, when he's not doing that because he doesn't like one of the reporters, Westbrook comes back and he says all the things you're supposed to say, but he doesn't generally back them up. Doesn't normally work that way. Here's Billy Donovan. We don't have Westbrook, but we have Billy Donovan here. Here's Donovan commenting. I guess he's the coach. Really, he's just like a figurehead. Here's Billy Donovan commenting on what the hell happened there in the second half.
Yep. So, you know, I thought it was a really, really competitive first half.
Who cares about that?
I thought we played well. I thought it was good that we came out in the first quarter and got off to a much, much better start than we did in game one. I thought the third quarter for us... you know, I thought our ball movement was pretty good in the first half. I didn't think we did as good of a job there in that third quarter. And I think our defense labored, and then obviously those guys putting the ball on the floor.
This is boring.
And attacking
Who
us.
Who cares about this? So I'm bored with this. All right. Well, anyway, so let's get to the meat of this, which is Russell Westbrook. All right. We'll play the blame pie. I love the blame pie. The question, how much of the blame does Russell Westbrook get? Now, remember, the final numbers on this, a blowout game, a game that was close for a half. Russell Westbrook, while he was on the court, Oklahoma City was outscored by 27 points. And did he get his triple-double? No. He was one rebound away from his beloved triple-double. Westbrook also had six turnovers, and this continues a pattern for Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. But if you're going to assign the blame pie, I'm going to give Russell, I hope he's hungry, I'm giving him 90%, 90% of the blame here. All right, 90%. Now, just to prove that I didn't make up what I thought I saw Russell Westbrook said, here is the soundbite I'm referring to. This is Westbrook being the good cop, saying all the right things about how mistakes happen. Listen to Westbrook here. Own it. He's trying to own it.
They won their first two home games. Obviously, we wanted to try to steal one when we can, but let's just stay with it. We're a great basketball team. A lot of great guys on this team that I trust in their abilities to make shots and make plays on both sides of the basketball. And we'll be all right, you know. Start with myself. I got to play better. And tonight, the loss, I'm going to take full responsibility of tonight because – the way I played was unacceptable, and I'm going to be better. So I'm not worried one bit. My job is to make sure I continue to come out and, you know, will and lead our guys and make sure we have a chance to win a game.
All right, so he's not worried. He should be worried. He should be very worried is what he should be. Now, my thoughts on the Thunder, you've got the Easter Bunny, the Stripper, and the Zebra. All right, those three things. No one else has this. All right, now, first of all, when I see Westbrook play a game like this, to me, it is corroboration. It's verification of what I have said about Westbrook for years. He is the king of the empty stats. It's Easter week in America, and a tradition on Easter week is the chocolate bunny, which is the hollow chocolate bunny. All right, Russell Westbrook is the chocolate bunny that you think is solid milk chocolate, and you get it, and you realize it's hollow. And you're like, wait a minute, what's up with that? It looks so good, but it's hollow, right? All that glitters is not gold and all that stuff, but from a wins and losses standpoint, you look at Westbrook and the way the Thunder have put this together, and yeah, they've got Paul George, and you play the yeah, but, what about this, what about that? The team is so top-heavy, and Russell Westbrook, the devil's really in the details, because Russell Westbrook has carte blanche here. And it doesn't get talked about as much because he's in Oklahoma City, but the way he plays is untenable in terms of winning playoff basketball, and I think that's been proven out in the last couple years. And when I say he's got free reign here, nobody, not Billy Donovan, not anybody, can say, hey, maybe we should try something else. This is not really working so well. You know, and he's the god of the zombie statistics, is what Russell Westbrook is. And to the dumb fan, to the uneducated fan, they look at Westbrook's stats and they say, I can't believe it. He's just great. He's the greatest thing ever. But then when you peel back the curtain, you're like, wait a minute. In fact, I saw one of the stat nerds over at the Bleacher Report. They had the numbers. Russell Westbrook, during the last two postseasons, has shot less than 39%. He's attempted almost 25 field goals per game and turned the ball over by himself over five times per game. And in the last eight playoff games, go back to last year and this year, the last eight playoff games, Oklahoma City, while Russell Westbrook has been on the court, has been outscored by 73 points with Russell Westbrook. But what about the statistics? What about the triple doubles? What about this? What about that? It's what about is it? Right? Keep in mind the number here, and it's an amazing number. It's a shocking number, right? Oklahoma City outscored by 73 points in the 310 playoff minutes in the eight games. Westbrook has played. And in the rest, it's plus 22. So plus 22 without him, but in the minutes he's played, they're outscored by 73 points. Now you can say, well, yeah, but when he's out of the game, it's a blowout, it's garbage time. You can make that argument. Now the second thing here, back to Russell Westbrook's commentary. We played the soundbite, and he walked through all of the key things there. You're supposed to say by the book, right? Full responsibility, unacceptable, and all that. This is what's known as lip service, all right? That's the term for this, lip service. And Westbrook, when he's, again, not getting angry and saying, next question with reporters, he says a lot of these kind of things. I remember last year against the Utah Jazz when Ricky Rubio, of all people, was messing with the mojo. When Ricky Rubio was goofing with Russell Westbrook, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'm not worried about Rubio, I'll be fine. He never was fine. He was never fine. And, you know, the words sound good, but actions matter. And even though C.J. McCollum was the rock star for the Blazers in the second half of this game, and, you know, the numbers were pretty similar to Lillard. Lillard didn't shoot as well as C.J. McCollum, but was better from three-point range and all that stuff. But if you had to choose between Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook, who would you rather have? I would rather have Damian Lillard. I'm not being just reactionary based on this game. To me, Damian Lillard played just as hard as Westbrook, but in the offense, it is not that the Blazers are going to win a championship, because they're not, but you have a better opportunity with the way Russell Westbrook, compared to Westbrook, the way that Damian Lillard plays. Right? And Westbrook, I get that he's stubborn. I'm stubborn. I love the fact that he keeps taking egregious shots and he won't stop. He doesn't make many of them, but he keeps taking them. And from an X's and O's standpoint, you don't have to be an NBA head coach to know if I'm going against a Westbrook team, the way Oklahoma City plays right now. You know what I do? I take a pitch. Years ago, about 20 years ago, the strip clubs in Tampa, they put a rule in, the six-foot rule, and it was a famous story. My good friend Tony Bruno, who used to work here, he had a field day with that back in the day. But they put the six-foot rule in at the strip clubs in Tampa where no adult performer could be within 6 feet of any of the customers because they banned the lap dances and all that. So if I'm coaching against Oklahoma City, I would put the old school Tampa strip club rule in, 6 foot. I would say don't get within 6 feet of Russell Westbrook. Let him shoot. Let him shoot, 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 shoot.
Poop fest.
That's what I would tell him to do. All right, last thing on this. Now, so where are we at? Right? You say, well, the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game or the home team loses, vice versa, whatever. And certainly Oklahoma City, you figure they're going to come back and they're going to have an opportunity in game three to stick the dagger to the Blazers. To me, Portland has to show that they can play like that on the road. Now, they could still win the series. They have home court. They could win the series not playing well on the road. They could certainly do that. For Oklahoma City, they have the Herculean task. And Billy Donovan, is, instead of blaming Westbrook and his terrible play, the interweb and the reaction is like, blame Billy Donovan. Blame Billy Donovan. And it's a poor man's LeBron, where Westbrook does whatever he wants. He's got free reign to do what he wants, and there's no real vaccine here. And it's the old tale we learned as kids about the zebra, right? A zebra can't change its stripes. So do we expect the Oklahoma City Thunder in game three of a playoff series to change the strategy, to twist things around and say, hey, Westbrook, maybe, instead of taking 20 shots, how about you take, I don't know, 7 or 8? How about that? Just give it a shot. I mean, some of these other guys, maybe they can score too. How about that? All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia. Right over there.
We had a great night last night.
We had a good night.
I'm a little disappointed. I mean, you have to take a step back, I guess, tonight. Okay. You know, we had no crazy.
Sitting down, I can't take a step
back. We had
no
crazy ending.
I can roll back. I'm going to roll back, Eddie.
Probably won't have any breaking news in the NFL tonight.
No, it's a big day, though. It's a
schedule
day.
What are you talking about, Eddie?
Big day, Eddie. Schedule.
Yeah, but not during our shift.
You never know.
Could happen. Maybe somebody will leak the schedule online overnight. We'll get the schedule. Could happen.
Yeah, but the schedule's not going to, tweet out, laying in bed with
even though everybody
girl.
Knows the schedule, right? I mean, the days are.
What? Eddie, though, you and your wife travel. You go on these pilgrimages with the Chargers.
Yeah, you know,
travel around.
It's funny you say that. I have a source at the NFL Network that told me.
Ooh, a source.
Wow.
That
like
told
that.
Me he would get me the Steelers and Chargers schedule early.
Yeah.
So that we could hit, get the hotel reservation before they jack up the prices. Oh,
that's a good job.
He has not come through.
He's still got time, though. It's not till the evening time on Wednesday.
The clock is ticking.
But you'd have to jump on your favorite travel website and go quickly. Yeah. So that is a competitive advantage. If you work at state-run NFL media, you have an advantage because you get the schedule
He took
early.
Advantage of it last year. He's a Patriots fan, and he went to a Patriots game.
So the real boss move would be to buy a bunch of hotel rooms and then give them out to people at a not a higher rate than you paid for it, but still lower than the hotel would typically charge.
Well, that would be an interesting move. Yeah. It's not quite the same as like reselling a ticket or something.
Yeah, but, you can do it though. There's ways you can pull it off. Yeah. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. If you want to be part here, the number is 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. So you had the Denver Nuggets come back and win, and you also had, in addition to that, as we just talked about, the Portland Trailblazers holding serve and dominating. More
Who
impressive.
Who the hell cares about the Denver Nuggets?
Well, one guy in Denver. I want to point out, I did a Nugget monologue last hour, and not a single call from Denver. We're on a major sports talk radio station in Denver, a well-listened-to sports talk radio station in the Mile High City. I have had emails from idiots, why don't you talk about the Denver Nugget? I finally talked about the Denver Nuggets, and I am greeted with crickets, is what I'm greeted with. All right, to the phones we go. Let's say hello to the clone, who's in Fresno. Hello, clone.
Well, it said Fresno before I came on, right?
Does it matter? You're in the magic radio box. Does it matter, really?
Is my radio cool or too loud?
What the hell was that?
Fresno, Eddie.
It's your guy, Eddie.
Come on, 559, step it up.
Fresno in the house, in the hizzy. That's Fresno right there.
That was disappointing.
It's sad. Sad guy. Trucker Tony is in Chicago. Hello, Trucker Tony.
Yeah, let me go inside the washroom again. The last time I called,
you're going to the washroom? Wait a minute. Yeah, you're in a truck. You got a washing machine in your truck?
Upgraded version. What's up, Jeff? Upgraded version. Don't hate on me.
Wow,
right?
That's a baller right there.
What kind of truck is that? Is that like a mobile home type situation?
2021. It ain't even out yet. I'm the only one texting it, okay? But listen here.
What the hell's going on? He is in the washroom. He's in the washroom, Eddie. I can hear the loud.
I can tell. I hope I don't hear any other evidence.
I can hear the loud. In Canada, they call it the powder room, is what they call it there. All right, God, what the hell's going on here? What the hell is going on?
I had to call yesterday.
Yeah.
But I was at work, and I'm at work again today. But for the sake of my comment becoming outdated and irrelevant, I must call again today. Yeah. How dare I?
Yes.
Plagiarized the great American hero George Carlin yesterday with his golf reference about an idiot using a stick to hit a ball and then hit it with a ball again and not give proper credit and cite your work. How dare you?
How dare I? Well, I am a huge Carlin fan. I'm upset with George Carlin. He's dead. I'm upset he died because we were denied so much great comedy from George Carlin. But you know my George Carlin story, Tony. You know my story, right?
No, I don't.
You don't know my George Carlin story?
Listen, I just ran into the station about 8 months ago.
Oh, my God.
I'm hooked, all right?
I'm glad you're hooked. It's a disease. It's in your blood. But listen to me. All right, this is a great story, Tony. So years ago, I'm doing local radio in L.A., right? Local radio guy. And this guy, George from Venice, calls a couple of my shows, calls some of the other shows at the station. Well, it turns out that George from Venice was George Carlin. The comedian, George Carlin, was a sports talk radio listener and called into a couple of different shows. And a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, Lee Klein, became friends with George Carlin, right? So then I was a huge Carlin fan, right? An old radio guy, and he became this legendary stand-up comedian. So then I wanted to be friends with Carlin, but I'm friends with Lee. So Lee, my buddy Lee, kept saying, we're going to have a dinner. Me, you, and Carlin, right? I'm thinking, my God, this is a dream come true. This is a comedy legend, and I'm going to have a meal with George Carlin. And and Lee was afraid that Carlin would have liked me more than him, so he kept pushing it back. And then Carlin, unfortunately, died, and I never met him. And I'm still bitter about that. I paid money to watch Carlin perform a couple of times back in the day. And, so that's my – Carlin used to call sports radio as George from Venice. That's a true story. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for this story.
All right. Get back to – make sure you wash and dry properly, Tony.
All right.
Get out of here. There's Tony. Yeah, Carlin. It's great.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Kubaloo.
Now, Charles Barkley has been clamoring for LeBron James to join TNT as a guest analyst during the playoffs for the last month or so. On Monday, LeBron responded saying that he does have a lot going on, but he might take him up on his offer. Ben, the chances LeBron joins the TNT crew?
All right, so this feels choreographed to me, like they've already got a deal, but they're trying to play it out in the media. I'll say the odds are -300. I think there's a 75% chance LeBron shows up in Atlanta. And I'll tell you why. Hey, LeBron, he needs the spotlight. He's all about it. He's an attention whore. He's in some tropical outpost somewhere. And on his way back to work on Space Jam, he can then stop by the TNT campus there in Atlanta and have a good time. And B, like LeBron, it would be very awkward. He would be an odd foil for TNT. He takes himself so seriously, and Charles Barkley, they do the whole slapstick vaudeville-style comedy thing. It would be interesting, but it would also likely be a train wreck. I could see Shaq tossing water balloons at LeBron. I don't think LeBron's going to handle that very well. All right, next.
Now, when asked about the reputation of Manny Machado late last week, Adam Jones said that it would 100% be different if Machado were white. Ben, your thoughts?
This is more of the same. Listen, Adam Jones, he's bouncing around now. He's in Arizona. The first thing is he's racist. Created this cottage industry. He believes there's this systemic racism prevalent in baseball in 2019. It's been this way for years and years and years. That's how he sees things. And number two, Manny Machado is the dirtiest player in baseball. It's not my opinion. It's the opinion of his fellow players who voted him the dirtiest player in baseball. My bigger issue is his lack of hustle. And Machado's a talented lightweight. It doesn't matter, you know, race or anything like that. Maximum effort and hustle. You don't need athletic ability. It doesn't matter what race you are. All right, next.
Now, it's worth noting that with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson getting new deals, Ben Roethlisberger is on the last year of his deal, and he hasn't made a peep. Do you think this is a sign that he plans to call it quits at the end of his contract?
Well, he's actually eating some peeps, Coop. It's the Easter week, so he likes those bright orange, pink, and yellow and green peeps.
No, peeps are great.
No, they're not. The Steelers are—they're still working on a contract extension. Big Ben, it's moving at a molasses-like pace, but he's like the last of the Mohegans. Everyone else is gone. All the name value guys. I say they get a deal done. I wouldn't give him a deal, but you don't listen to me. Everyone's getting paid, so why wouldn't he get paid? Everyone's getting extensions. They don't give any. They give everyone the money. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you pass this.
That is a win. Put it on the board.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You stand out from most radio listeners. As you can tell, we are not like those other generic sports talkers. On the Ben Maller Show, for better or worse, we are unique. Help us stay that way by joining our Facebook family. You can interact with other P1 friends of the show. It's harmless and it's free. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password. The word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go. It's time now for Password, the word game of the stars. Each and every week at about this time, we play Password. Let's welcome in our contestants for this week's matchup. It's team competition. We say hello to KJ in Nashville. Hello, KJ.
I'm actually on the live air.
You're What's on up, Big the Man? Live air. It's an amazing thing, KJ. And what do you tell the guy in Punxsutawney who knows the guy in Beaver Dam what you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver.
Yeah? Look at that. You're like Russell Wilson. Your voice goes, oh, I like that. Your voice can go all over the place. I like that. All right, KJ. Well, good luck to you. Hold on a sec. KJ, the big voice guy, and we've got Wendell, who's in Los Angeles. Hello, Wendell.
Hey, greetings. How's it going?
What's going on, Wendell? You're going to give it another go here, huh?
Hey, why not, man? And speaking of Russell Wilson, may need to invest in some offensive linemen, maybe. Kind of help him out a little bit.
Nah. You need an offensive line? He's making all the money. Let him protect himself. He had a block in addition to throw passes.
Come on, man. That's not big.
All right. Wendell's an old bus driver. He's got that bus driver voice, Wendell, back in the day. All right. Hold on a sec, Wendell. KJ, who do you want to partner up with, KJ?
Come on, Ben. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Me and you, KJ. We're going to get this done. Wendell, I'm out. You can play with Eddie, Coop, Roberto, anybody else.
Let's try Coop.
All right. Don't sound excited, and I don't blame you. I do not blame you for not being excited. All right, hold on, Wendell. KJ, all right, both on the air. Now, we list the words here. 1 to 10. If you can see the list, you're cheating, and that's creepy, so don't look at the list. And the way this works here, it's team competition. You got to pick a number. KJ, you were on the air first. So please pick a number between 1 and 10, and that will be, there's a word next to every number, so that's how we do it.
So number 10.
Number 10. All right, number 10. All right, let's go with the clue is number 10. How about problem? KJ, take as much time as you want. Don't mind the live air.
What about difficulty? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you said difficulty. That's not terrible, but that's not right. Kubala.
I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction, Wendell. Let's go with dare.
Dare. Challenge.
Yeah!
Oh,
whoa!
Boo!
Good job, Wendell.
Boo! All right, you're back up. It's Passworthy Word Game of the Stars.
All right, Wendell, 1 through 10, not 10. So 1 through 9.
8.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go with, there's a couple ways I could go here.
Don't use my material.
Let's go with heterosexual.
Great.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Dang. Impressive. Good job, man. Coop.
Impressive.
That was impressive, Coop.
Wasn't that impressive? All right, let's keep going. KJ, we're back up, KJ. Pick a number, not 8, not 10. We need this one, KJ. We got to get back in the game.
All right, let's get 9.
Number 9. All right. Now, this should be a layup line.
All right.
Let's go with Bicker. Bicker, B-I-C-K-E-R. Uh-oh.
P as in
No. B as in Ben, as in baseball, as in, yeah.
Bicker?
Oh, boy. This is not going well. Yeah. Yeah,
I have no idea.
Like, you've never heard the word bicker before?
I have not. That's a new one. That's a new one for me.
Okay. Oh, the layup.
Okay.
Oh, man, missed the layup. Man. That's a tee ball, and the ball fell off the tee.
All right, Wendell, we can essentially go for...
The ball was on the tee, Eddie!
We can essentially go for the knockout here, Wendell.
I hate when that happens.
I'm going to give you the clue. Squabble.
Are you?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my.
That's right.
This is a roasting.
KJ, if you bicker with someone, you're arguing with them. You're bickering with them. Oh, my God.
KJ and Ben, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, go ahead and just
it's a blowout.
Call it at this point.
Should we call the mercy rule?
Oh, this is brutal. This is unbelievable.
Ben's getting clobbered.
Should we try and pile on? Wendell, do you want to pick another number?
Let's go with 3.
Yeah, that's a yes.
That was a yes.
All right, let's go with.
He's got no soul. He's trying to.
I'm gonna have fun here. You know, we're winning. We're not gonna lose. Let's go with yoked.
Yeah, he's not gonna get that.
Yoked. Muscular.
Oh, he's the best ever.
Unbelievable.
You're cheating.
This is a performance for the ages.
How are we cheating? You're cheating. You sent him the worst.
It's
there's some sort of psychic connection going on here.
Time out. That's a cheat.
This is unbelievable.
No, come on. That's obvious. You cheated, Koopa. You sent him the worst.
I don't even know this guy. How did I send him the worst?
You text him the worst.
One of the best performances in the history of Password.
No, it doesn't.
Call it what it is. Call it what it is.
He's a legend.
It was a mismatch. It was a mismatch.
It was a mismatch. Yeah, they were really good. You suck.
Impressive, man.
These weren't even good clues. Koopa Loop cheated.
There were great clues. He got them all on the first guess.
He texted him the answers. He cheated.
You lose.
Cheater.
Wow.
Cheater. Hey, Ben.